We're on. We're on chapter 2 of Pirkei Avot, chapter 2. And we are continuing with the statements of Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And Hu Haya Omer, Rabban Gamliel used to say, Aser Ritzono Kirtzoncha. Do your will, make your will like his will. Or make his will like your will. Make God's will your will. And he'll make your will his will. So in other words, we have to synchronize. We talked about this last week, synchronizing our wills to Hashem's will. And then we also talked about the other side of the coin, which is annul your will in front of his will. Annul your will because of Hashem's will. Annul your will, which means I want to do something and Hashem says don't do it. So I have to annul what I want to do and do what he wants. You have to give in to the greater power. Exactly, couldn't say it better. You have to give in to the greater power. Give in to Hashem. Annul your will and make your will his will. That's the key. Annul your will and make your will his will. You want to do his work as opposed to your work. And that is giving up your free will. That's the idea is to give up our free will. We talked about Rabbi Dessler. Rabbi Dessler says in Strive for Truth, Michtam Eliyahu, that a person's got to give up their free will and give their free will to God. When we give our free will to God, that is, we become what's called Eved Hashem. The highest level is to be Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu got the level of Eved Hashem, which is Hashem's servant. To be Hashem's servant, which means the servant wants his master. How many servants get a good servant? It's so hard to find a good servant. Because they give up their will. The master gets up at 6 o'clock, he's got to get up at 6 o'clock. He's got to get up at 5 o'clock to be able to get the tea ready and the coffee ready and the breakfast ready for the servant. Just like I used to work in a hotel, I know what it's like. Be a waiter in a hotel, boy. I was stuck in Israel. I never had any relatives when I was in yeshiva over there. So Pesach I spent as being a waiter in a hotel. Oh boy, that's talk about slavery. Talk about slavery.
Can you at least get all you can eat?
Yes, you can eat as much as you want, you just had no time to do it. Because you wake up at 6 o'clock, you run to Minyan, mm-hmm. You come back and you start setting up breakfast, and then you finish breakfast, then you got to start setting lunch, and you finish lunch, you got to set up for tea, and you set up tea, and you got dinner, and then you have dinner, then you're exhausted. Plus, they had no rooms for us to sleep, we had to sleep in the bathrooms.
What?
Yeah. No. Sleep in the bathtub. Galei Sanz, Netanya. Galei Sanz is a Hasidish. The bathrooms of the swimming pool. They gave us mattresses, Baruch Hashem.
That was nice of them.
Yeah, very nice. So we used to finish around 12 o'clock. The only thing we're good about it was we had a swimming pool over there, go for a swim,
and then collapse,
really. That's Avdut. Then I felt Pesach, yes, Pesach. Now I know what being a slave is all about. The hardest part was the Seder, because everyone's having a Seder. While they're eating, we're having our Seder. So, it's the quickest Seder in history, right? They're eating until we get a Seder. We have no time, we're just running around otherwise. The worst part of it was the second night. Second night, they ran out of grape juice, and everyone was drunk. All the chutznikim were drunk. Even the waiters were drunk. So, I was on vacation the second night, thank God, Baruch Hashem. I didn't have to do the second Seder, thank God. But it was the weirdest second Seder I've ever seen.
Americans that were doing two Seder.
Yeah, Americans and Canadians.
Right.
And Europeans. Anyway, it's good. So that's how to be a slave. You have to annul your will. You have no life, basically. A slave has no life. Same thing with our attitude to Hashem. We have to do Hashem's mission. What does Hashem want you from doing? But I was going to see, what does Hashem want from me? How do I know what Hashem wants me to do? And the answer is, learn the Torah. That's His will. That's Hashem's will. Hashem's will is in the Torah. Hashem's will is embedded in the Torah. Hashem's will is embedded in the Shulchan Aruch. That is Hashem's will. Suppose he says, listen, I don't want to get up so early, I don't pray minya, I don't go here, I don't go there, I don't pray three times a day. Well, that's Hashem's will. You want to do Hashem's will? Do Hashem's will. I don't keep kosher, but that's Hashem's will. I don't wear my tefillin, but Hashem's will. So, okay, I've got to annul my will because of Hashem's will. I've got to do Hashem's will, make Hashem's will my will. Hashem says, go live in Israel. I don't want to mind. Right? Hashem wants us to live in Israel. 2/3 of the Torah is about living in Israel. You know that?
Right.
2/3 of the Torah is all about living in Israel. I didn't say that. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman said that. Halav Shalom. Hashem Yikom Damo. 2/3 of the Torah is about living in Israel. It starts off with Bereishit. which is the Rashi says, the first Rashi on Chumash says, Hashem tells us He created the world so that He could give any place He wants to us. He gave us Israel. Actually, first Rashi in Chumash. And it ends off with Moshe Rabbeinu pleading with Hashem to go to Israel. We want to go to Israel. The whole thing is about going to Israel. The whole Torah is about the Bnei Israel coming out of Egypt and going to Israel. Two-thirds of the Torah is about coming out of Israel, Egypt and going to Israel. And the spies sinned. They said, no, Israel's a bad place. We can't go to Israel. So we have to go. That's our mission. We have a mission in life. So Hashem says, go live in Israel. It's so hard. We're going to live in Israel. But you have to annul your will before His will. You have to turn your will into His will. Make His will your will. It's very hard. That's why I'm talking to you. Why? I wouldn't tell you otherwise.
No.
The rabbi's job is to send people to Israel. That's the rabbi's job. You didn't know that, right? The rabbi's job is to send himself to Israel as well.
Right, exactly.
But you see,
that's what you preach.
It's very important. You have to do it. You have to do it. My kids are in Israel, Baruch Hashem. Four kids are living in Israel, married ones, children, grandchildren, all in Israel. They're all in Israel. Why are they in Israel? Because that's where we should be. That's where we should be. That's where our kids should be. If you can't be there, at least your kids can be there. At least if your kids can't be there, at least your grandchildren will be there. Because that's what God wants. That's God's will. God's will is Jews should be in Israel, not around the world, here and there, even though Hashem sent us around the world. But now the time is coming for the ingathering of the exiles. We see this. The ingathering of the exiles are coming together. They're all coming together. Now's the time of the ingathering.
Where did it tell us here that we should go live in Israel?
It says, annul your will.
To Hashem's will.
To Hashem's will. What is Hashem's will?
Torah.
Where does Hashem want you to be? I just told you, two-thirds of the Torah is about going to Israel.
According to the Torah.
And what does the Torah say? Two-thirds of the Torah is about living in Israel. Two-thirds! You want to be in the desert? That's your problem.
Raglim.
That's the Raglim. That's exactly the time. The spies. The spies said it's bad. It's this. We can't do it. We go back to Egypt. Let's go back to America. So that's we have to annul our will. I'm just giving an example. It's just one example, but it's a very hard example because here we are living over here. It's a hard example. Person's got to change their way of doing life. Life, you got to change. You have to annul your will. Guy said, I'd rather retire in Miami. You want to retire in Florida? The Jewish dream. Retire in Florida.
No, thank you.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, just give an example. So retire in Israel instead.
I will. I'd rather.
I'm just saying. Annul your will. Annul your will. So I said, I like it better over here. Okay, well, annul your will. There's so many things over there I don't like. Well, go and help change it. Hillel Omer. Now we're moving back to Hillel. Hillel. So this is the great-grandfather. Hillel, the great-grandfather. All the other time, he had all his grandsons talking. You have Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Gamliel. You had Rabbi Yehuda Nassin, and then Rabbi Gamliel again. Now we're going back to the source, Hillel, the great Hillel. What does Hillel say? Al tifrosh min atzibur. Don't move away from community. Community is very, very important. Community for Jews is very, very important. Had a guy in my shul in Vancouver. He ran away. Had enough. He went to Hawaii. Had enough Jews. Headache. No Jews in Hawaii. He goes. He buys a shack at the beach, and he gets a call from Chabad. Hi, we're Chabad in Hawaii. We need you for a minyan. I'm sick. Try and get away, and I can't even get away. Go to Hawaii. Get away. Nothing. So what happens is he's on this plane going back to visit his relative in Canada. It's United Airlines, and right in front of his very eyes. There's a hole all of a sudden in the roof of the plane, and the stewardess gets sucked out the roof.
Oh,
you heard of that one?
Yeah.
Remember that?
No.
He was on that plane.
Yes.
Is it working? So the stewardess gets sucked out right in front of his eyes, and he becomes a Baal Teshuva. So it's Al Tifrosh Min Hatzibur. Don't run away from the community. When things are bad, people run away from the community. People say, I don't want to be Jewish. I want to hide my Judaism. I hide. There's so many Jews hiding over here. You know, the story is the rabbi passes the guy, he says, I haven't seen your children recently. Where have you been? He says, shh, rabbi, I'm in the secret service. A lot of Jews are in the secret service. They're hiding out somewhere. So Hillel says, no, don't do that. Don't be a loner. Don't be a loner. We all need community to strengthen ourselves. And when Jews are in trouble, the Jew says, I'm getting away from them. I want to be someone else. So he brings that over here, Gemara in Tanit. Gemara says, "Bezman shiyisrael shurim b'tzar, when the Jews are in trouble, pirash echad mehem, and one runs away from them, the two angels that accompany a person go and put their hands on his head, and they say, 'Ploni zeh shepirash min hatzibur al yirae b'nechamat hatzibur.' This one who separated from the community will not see the comfort of the community. He won't see when the community is not in trouble. In other words, when he's not suffering with them, he's not going to enjoy with them either." It's very harsh. So you see that today. The Jews just, they don't care if Israel's doing well, not Israel doing well. They don't care about Israel anymore. Most American Jews have no idea about Israel. They don't care about Israel. It's terrible. It's a disaster. Or they join J Street, or they're anti-Israel. It's, man, it does not make sense. And the answer is because they're poorish from the Tzibur. They're leaving the community and they don't care anymore. So the Malach comes on and says, "Listen, you don't care? You're not going to see them. You don't care. You're not going to have benefit when they're enjoying themselves."
With Elimelech, like,
yes, Elimelech, Book of Ruth. Elimelech. Elimelech died in Moab. He left the times of trouble. He was Poresh Ben Atzibur, and unfortunately, the only redeeming factor was Ruth.
Ruth
was a non Jewish woman, comes and saves us. Imagine. She saved the day, and she's going to bring Mashiach. So, something, there was some redeeming factor. But it was a terrible thing for him and for his two sons. They died over there. So this is Hillel speaking, and he's talking in times of trouble. These are times of persecution. They're times of Roman persecution. How many Jews ran away because of Roman persecution? Not only did they run away, maybe they even became Roman. They converted out, became Greek, whatever it is. So he's telling them, listen, you're converting out, but you're not going to see when good things happen to the Jews, you're not going to be part of it. You're running away from the bad things, but you're not going to be part of the good things. V'al tami b'atzmecha yom motcha. And a person should not trust themselves until the day of their death. It was a person says, "What tzaddik? I'm a tzaddik. I've been doing good all my life." Wait, your life's not over yet. Don't trust yourself till the last minute, last second. A person shouldn't trust themselves till the last second. There's a couple of amazing stories in the Talmud. There was an old rabbi. I can't remember his name. It's the Gemara in Sota, Gemara in Sanhedrin. And the Jews, they redeemed the captives. Girls. Young girls taken captive by the Romans, and he had to pay a lot of money and ransom them back. They ransomed them. They said, "Where are we going to keep them for the night? Where are we going to put them?" "Oh, there's an old rabbi here. He has an attic. We'll put them in his attic. They're going to be safe over there. He's an old man. Put him in the safe." They put the girls in the attic to sleep, and there's a heavy metal ladder going up to the attic. In those days, they never had indoor stairs. So they say, "You know, for safety, we'll just take down the ladder. This ladder can be moved by 2-3 people. Take down the ladder. The women up there in the attic, the rabbi sleeping downstairs. In the middle of the night, he gets up. Yitzhara is burning him. Takes the ladder and puts it up there by himself, and he starts walking up the ladder. Can you imagine this old man, old rabbi? He says, "What am I doing?" He starts screaming, "Fire, fire, fire!" All the neighbors come and see the rabbi in the middle of the ladder. He said, "Where's the fire, rabbi? Where's the fire?" He says, "I'm on fire." He said, "Rabbi, it's disgusting. How could you even do this? It's such a shame, disgrace for you." He said, "Listen, it's better to be a disgrace in this world than not disgrace in the next world." So we see over here, people should not trust themselves. The Yetzirah keeps on going. Now, it's amazing how the Yetzirah, the last second, a person can say, "I regret all the good I did in my life." In the last second of a person's life, a person can regret all the good they did. "I never enjoyed myself as much as I could have." That's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is not, when a person gets older, the Yetzirah is not in the physical world. It's in the mental world. Person says, "You know what? If I wasn't religious, I could have had a good time. I could have done this and I could have done that. I was religious. It stopped me enjoying life. It stopped me enjoying life. Being religious stopped me enjoying life." Right? You hear that? You hear what I said?
Yeah.
"It stops me enjoying life. So the person says, I'll regret it." Think about it. That's the Yetzirah at the end of life. End of life is to rebel against God at the end, mentally. What? Maybe it's better you don't understand. But what we're trying to do is, that's what we say, we practice every day saying Shema Yisrael.
Correct.
Because the last time before we go,
Shema Yisrael.
We have to hear Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. We believe in God, we believe in God. Never lose that belief. Because that's what the Yisrael is trying to do. The Yisrael is trying to make a person live their belief in God. And in fact, all the troubles we have in our lives, a person is going to say, "I want to increase. These troubles are here to increase my faith in God." increase. When you have a trouble in life, it's a test. What is the test? The test is, do I still believe? I don't believe. If I do believe, how much do I believe? Every time a person has a test, the test is, any test, behind the scenes is a test of emunah. How much do I believe in God? How much faith do I have that God can help me right now? How much bitachon do I have? Emunah is I believe in God. I know there's a God. How much faith do I have that He helps me? That's bitachon. Suppose there's troubles in life. So let's give an example. Suppose there's trouble with their spouse. The spouse has gone bananas. Screaming, shouting, da 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 da. It's horrible. It drives me crazy. It happens all the time. And it's not, I'm talking about myself. It happens all the time. So what happens? You know what happens? The guy says, you know what? You know what the rabbis tell us? If you are good with God, everyone will be good with you. If you increase your relationship with God, who says this? Shlomo HaMelech. It's a great line in Mishlei. He says, if you love Hashem, all your enemies will make peace with you. If you love Hashem, it's true about Israel today as well. If the people in Israel would love Hashem, Hashem would say, I'll make peace with everyone with you. They'll all make peace with you. But if you're going to have marches, gay pride marches in the Tel Aviv, 200,000 people, of course there's not going to be peace. How are you going to have peace? It's crazy. Yes. Now it's a test. Exactly what we're talking about. The test of emunah. Test of bidachon. If there's no troubles in the world, there's no test. Very simple. Every time
the worst
is...
things that they do is they want to picking up the stones on Shabbat and you want to throw at the people.
Yes, it's true. I agree with you.
So they break Shabbos.
Yes, it's true. But you know what? They want to make sure it's not Muktzeh, so they set it aside before Shabbat. That's the irony. It's like half. Okay, it doesn't matter. Let's not quit. But let's talk about ourselves. Okay, let's talk about ourselves. So, it's very important to increase one's emunah and bitachon. I believe in God. There's troubles in the world. There's troubles in my life. Okay, now I got to figure out how to solve the troubles. Obviously, you got to figure it out. You also have to have increased your faith as well. Because the test behind the test, it looks like a test of troubles, right? There's marital issues, there's family issues, there's children issues, there's school issues, there's money issues. But behind the scenes is one big test. Do I believe in God or not? Do I believe God can help you or not? And the answer is if you pass that test, all the other tests will fall apart. Because that is the main test. So all the troubles in the world, you have to pass the test. And what's the test? Emunah. Let me give you an example. There's a rabbi called Rabbi Galinsky. Have you heard of him? Rabbi Galinsky. Very famous. Very, very famous. He wrote books. In Israel. He says there were 300 boys in the yeshiva in Navardok. 300 boys in the yeshiva before the war. 300 boys. He says 100 of them were taken away by the Russians to Siberia. 200 were killed by the Nazis. He was one of the lucky ones who went to Siberia. He said in Siberia, 42 boys came back from Siberia. He closed the door. 56 died. In the cold and sickness and this and that. You know. So he's one of the lucky ones who survived. So his question is, can we rejoice that we survived? Do we lucky ones say Hallel or not? And the answer he says is yes, definitely you say Hallel. Because you're the lucky ones. You have to praise God for survival. But how can I say thank you for that shame? Look at all the others who didn't survive. But you did. We're the lucky ones. All of us. We're all survivors. All of us here. You know how many times they try to kill us? The Jews, we're the survivors. Now, what do we do to pay God back? Make sure our children survive. Make sure our grandchildren survive. That's our job, is as far as we can, pass down the torch. If we survive, let's help them survive. So that, how do we do that? The answer is increasing emunah. How do you increase emunah? A person says, yeah, well, I believe. My rabbi in England used to tell me, he says, at the end of time, it's like a big rope. Can you imagine you're hanging onto this rope? And someone above is swinging the rope. And they try and knock you off the rope. What do you do? Someone's trying to knock you off the rope.
Hold on
even tighter. If your emunah is swaying, make sure you grab on even tighter, make your emunah even stronger so you can't break the rope. What is the rope? It's chayim hi lemachazikim ba. It's a tree of life for those who?
Klingons.
We are the Klingons. Is that good or bad? We have to cling on to the rope. We have to cling on to this rope. The rope is called emunah. It's the rope of emunah which goes straight to Hashem. I believe in you, Hashem. I believe in you, Hashem. I believe in Hashem. That was the test of the spies. If the Jews that night would have said, you know what, you're wrong, like Caleb. Caleb ben Yefune was the hero. You know why he was the hero? Because his wife was Miriam. And she was a heroine. He was married to a heroine. And the heroine, Miriam, had just suffered a terrible thing. Why? She was punished with leprosy for speaking Lashon Hara. His wife. So he says, you know what? I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara about Israel. I learned my lesson from my wife getting suffering. My lesson. I'm going to say good things about Israel. I'm going to say, I'm going to come back. I'm going to be the fire for good. And he spoke such a beautiful speech. Motivate the Jews to go to Israel. We can do it. Hashem is behind them. If Hashem wants, we can take over the land. No problem. And they cried that night. And since they cried and they didn't believe, we get Tisha B'Av for generations. We're still crying 3,300 years later. Can you imagine? Think about this. 3,300 years of Jewish crying. And Hashem says, I'm going to give you something. You cried for nothing. I'm going to give you something to cry about. I'm going to smash two temples on the same date. Imagine. What's the chance of that happening? Two temples smashed on the same date. So don't cry for nothing. A person shouldn't cry for nothing. It's very important not to cry for nothing. Be happy with what you have. But that's a very important lesson. And it's so hard to do. To count your blessings every day and not count what's missing. Be sameach b'chalkecha. It's so hard. It's the biggest test in life, but it's a test of emunah. Why is it a test of emunah? Because who gave me what I did? Who gave me all this? Hashem! You know, we're lucky because we're here. The unlucky ones are in hospital. Right? We're lucky. We can still walk around, see, talk. The other guys are in hospital. It's terrible. What can happen in split seconds? A person can have a fall down in the street, take the hospital, and they don't treat them properly, and there's repercussions. That happened just recently to a young man. A young man. Healthy young man. He had a hernia. They ripped him up, and they really messed him up totally. And there's an infectious disease and all sorts of complications. I'm just saying how it can happen so fast. That's also a test of emunah. It's a test of emunah. It's all a test of emunah. So a person has to have belief. And you solve your problems because your belief. Your belief will solve your problems. Why? Because your problem is a test of emunah. So if I have emunah, Hashem says, oh, pass the test. Where's the classic case? Classic case is Yohanan Kohen Gadol. Terrible case, terrible case. Can you imagine a high priest of Israel? Yohanan Kohen Gadol, he was a high priest for 80 years. How old was he, this guy? Must be 100.
Pretty old.
Pretty old, right? In the end, he becomes a Saduki. In the end, he says, I don't believe in the oral law. Ribbono Shel Olam, how is it? How could that be possible? So the answer is, don't judge him. Because that's the next part of the Mishnah. Don't judge your friend. Ad shetagei alei b'komo. Until you have the same test yourself. Because I don't know, you know, there's an interesting halakha. Very amazing halakha. You go to, you're living in Spain. Imagine. You're living in Spain. 1391, the first pogroms. 1391. 1391, first pogroms, Jews are converting to Catholicism, becoming Catholics, one after another. And you're not talking about simple people, you're talking about chief rabbis. Rabbis, great rabbis converted to Christianity. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? The whole world. If I go to Portugal, the same thing will happen. I go to Italy, the same thing will happen. What's the escape? There's no escape for a Jew. So we'll convert. In secret, we'll be Jewish. We'll be Maranos. You know what Maranos means? Pigs. They call them pigs. Conversos is a nice way of putting it. But they converted from Judaism to being pigs. Imagine, we want to convert to be a pig. Imagine. Who called them pigs? The Christians called them pigs. They didn't want to give up with them. They say they're Jews. Now they're coming to church and they're pretending to be Catholics. We know they're Jews. And they got worse treatment. They got the Inquisition. They got the Inquisition. Now what happens now? The guy comes back, he says, listen, he ran away to Holland. In Holland they had freedom of religion. A lot of Maranas ran away to Holland. Hamburg, people don't realize, the Yekim mainly are from Spain. The Yekim, they went to Hamburg. Biggest concentration of Maranos in Europe. Hamburg, Germany, the Yekim. And they're all descendants. You know, what's her name? Mrs. Rosen, Aliyah Shalom. What did she say? Her first name was Mendelovich, came from
Mendoza.
She did the research in her family tree. The grandfather was Mendelovich. If her Mendelovich came originally from Mendoza, from Spain.
She was from
Morano, whatever, they ran away. Yeah. Don't know. So anyway, so now what happens? The guy comes from Spain. He says, listen, I converted because I was forced to convert. So Jewish lawyers, they put a gun to your head and say, worship the idol. You gotta say, kill me. I'm not going to worship any idols. Why does a guy bow down to worship the idol? What do we do to him? What is the penalty in Jewish law? There's no penalty in Jewish law. There's nothing we, the Beit Din, can do to him. It's all between him and God. Why? Because I don't know. How can I judge a man where I don't even know what I would do in his situation? Someone puts a gun to my head. What would I do? I don't know. So we can't judge people. And that's exactly what Hillel is saying. We always judge others. This guy's bad. 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 And the answer is, don't say anyone's bad unless you know what their test is yourself. You've been through the same test and you survived.
Okay.
Yes.
So, is it true that I hear from people who are battling with transgender and homosexuality that they find that there's a place for them in an Orthodox synagogue?
Yeah, so.
So, we are judgmental and not so loving.
Yes.
Of our brothers.
Yes. But you know why?
Sisters who are
you know why? You know why? One second. If there's a plague, you allow the guy who has a plague to come in your shul? There's a plague going on right now.
Between him and God.
No, there's a plague going on.
A plague.
There's a plague. You know what a plague is?
But this isn't.
Let me say, it's a plague. You don't understand what's going on. It's a plague in society. It's a terrible plague in society. Where even great rabbis' grandchildren are going. I can't believe it.
One of the reasons for the fall of the Roman Empire.
There's a plague. We don't understand. I don't want to get into this discussion, but I'm just saying. Just like there's a physical plague, sometimes there's a spiritual plague. And a spiritual plague is eating up people's children. And people don't realize it. There's a whole big thing going on today in society. It's a sickness. And if you don't guard yourself against it, it's going to affect not just... It's going to affect everyone.
It's not a choice.
It's a large choice. You can say what you want. Listen, it's a definitely choice. If the Torah says, do this or not do this, then obviously there's a choice.
You don't have to do it just because you feel like doing it.
Exactly. It's like a kleptomaniac. The poor fellow's born a kleptomaniac.
It's like saying, don't get married.
Oh, the poor fellow's born an alcoholic. I mean, what can you do? He has the gene of an alcoholic. I'm just saying that you can control anything. Personally, that's the choices we have in this world. Do we choose what we want to do, or do we give in, change our will because of God's will? Exactly what we're talking about today. Whose will do we follow? That's the question. So a person's going to say, listen, I have this inclination. Listen, we all have inclinations. Listen, everything's normal. Adultery is normal. Incest is normal. Everything's normal. So why? What's the problem? What's the problem? Why are we making barriers? Why is society making barriers? Everything's normal. The Rambam says that. The Rambam says these things are not forbidden because they're not normal. They're normal. We have to control ourselves. The whole Torah is all about self-control. And that's the issue. So sometimes there is a plague. The plague is people can't control themselves and they tell everyone and they're out of the closet. If they're in the closet, I don't care. You do your thing behind your own thing. I don't know. You drive the shul, I don't care. I don't examine who drives the shul. I don't examine what you do at home. I don't know. But if you're proud of it, guys, you come with a big sign. I drive the shul. Don't come here, please. Don't advertise. I don't want my kids to drive the shul. So if something there's something which is wrong, which is coming out of the closet, which is advertising and pride. What do you want pride for? You pride for what? Pride for sitting? Pride for doing things against God? That's not pride. I'm sorry. And that's why we're not allowed to say vidui aloud. You can't say vidui. Ashabdu, I said! Why? Well, you're proud of it. That's chilul Hashem. You just made a chilul Hashem. That's chilul Hashem. When a person says, I sinned in public between me and God, that's chilul Hashem. Oh, you sinned and you're proud of it. Yeah, no, I'm not doing teshuva. I'm proud of it. Okay. You got problems. You got major problems. So we have to annul our will. That's what we just talked about. Now, I can't judge them. I don't know what they're going through. Honestly, I can't judge them. But I can say, listen, you want to do your own thing? You don't have to do it over here. You don't have to advertise over here. I don't want my children to follow. I don't want my children to know about these things. I don't want them to be exposed. Because that's what's happening. In England is a big problem now for the frum community. They may have to move out of England. Why? Because they're passing a law that you have to teach these things in school.
What?
Teach that it's normal, and we have to accept and this and that in frum schools. Every school in England, Muslim schools, Jewish schools. It's one of the things that really unites the Muslims and the Jews together now.
That's right. That was nice. They're both entitled.
But can you imagine?
And the Christians.
The Christians don't care. They don't care. They're very open-minded in England, at least. But I'm just saying that these are issues that societies are facing today. They're falling apart. Society is falling apart today. And not just them, but from societies, religious societies. It's ripping us apart. It's a disaster. This is today's test. It says the 6,000 years of creation, going through the Sefirot, is Yesod. Yesod is the test of sexual sins. We're living through it now. This is the sign. This is the period of morality. So a person's moral in this period, you win the lottery. You win the lottery because the morality is so great. The power of immorality today is so great. So it's premarital sex, extramarital sex. They're all the same. They're all the same. Over here, the Torah says explicitly, it says toeva. It's a toeva, but it's the same level. It's all the same list. If you go through the list in Parshat Acharemot, this is the second part of Parshat Acharemot, which we read on the Mincha of Yom Kippur of all times. Why Mincha of Yom Kippur? Can you imagine what the rabbis say? I said, listen, on Yom Kippur, people have nothing to do. It's more likely to fool around. They're not in shul. So where are they? Who knows what they're up to? I don't know. It's so true. That when a person has a vacation, that's when you need to read these laws more. Anyway, I don't have to go on to the topic. Okay. But don't judge others. We're not judging others, but sometimes you've got to take precautions. That's all. We're not judging you. We're just saying sometimes we've got to take precautions. We've got to save the rest. The remnant. So don't judge other people. And don't say, I'm going to say a secret. Keep the secret. You know, a famous story says, three psychologists. They're on vacation together. And one psychologist says to the other, you know, we have notes. We have so many patients and we have no one to unburden ourselves to. So now we're all three together. Can we just unburden ourselves? So I'll talk to you and you'll talk to me and he'll talk to us. We'll unburden ourselves. So one psychologist says, you know what? He says, I've been overbilling my patients for years. Because what can I do? I have a drug problem. I need to do that. And the other psychologist says, what can I do? I've been running an underground company, whatever. So, and the other psychologist says, I got a problem. I can never keep a secret.
Uh-oh.
Anyway. And that's what he says over here. Don't say, I'm going to tell a secret and it will never get out. Al tomar davar she'efshar lishmoa. Don't say something, it's impossible that people hear about it. She'sofo lishamea. Eventually it will be heard. Anyway, you want to say something that you don't want anyone to know? No such thing. Don't say it. No such thing as a secret. And you know what? When I want to advertise something, my cousin came from England. Think about this. He comes from England. He gets on the plane. They give him, I don't know what, something about New York City, this or that. And in there, there's an advertisement. The best kept secret in New York. You know what it is? Century 21 stores. Ever heard of Century 21? Yeah. But it's a secret. It says over there, the best kept secret. So he comes off the plane. He said, the best kept secret. I got to go there. The best kept secret. I got to go there. You say, just tell someone it's a secret. It's going to get out there. Psh, don't tell anyone, it's a secret. And the other guy says, don't tell anyone, it's a secret. Yes, that's a joke. The joke is George Bush. It's a joke. Okay, George Bush. George W. George W., he hears the Jews have a system of getting information.
Getting what?
Information somehow. They hear information. So he wants to test it out, so he goes to Borough Park. And he's sitting over there in the shul. I heard the Jews know how to get information. He says, the other guy tells him, he says, you don't know, but there's a rumor going around that George Bush is here. George Bush is here. In other words, he's trying to see how the Jews get information. Right. They're already talking about it, that he's there. Oh, okay. Anyway, I'm just saying, a secret gets out. You can't keep secrets. No secrets. Especially today's day and age. Okay. Especially today's day and age. There was a murderer in Los Angeles just 2 weeks ago. This came out, this news. He went on genealogy.com and he got a DNA sample. He took a DNA thing to find his ancestry, and it went to the FBI, and that's how they caught him. His DNA got to the FBI through this test. A guy goes to get a test to find their genealogy, and the information goes to the FBI automatically, and they caught him. 30 years later they caught him. Don't do the test. If you have something to hide, don't do the test. Very simple. Imagine, there's no secrets anymore. They get your DNA from here, DNA from there, before you know it. Plus the phones, there's Facebook, and all the information is out there. Whatever you do on the web, it's well known. It's there, stored somewhere, Google headquarters, they have it. Stores and everything. You know, I'm just, the fear is one day, there's going to be someone, and you're going to get a call. If you want this information not to be revealed, pay us so much money. Blackmail. It's out there. And if it's not up there, it's up there. And we said one day they're going to play back the tape. This is your life. Uh-oh, my life. You have all the information over here? You sure it's 24 hours a day, 24/7? By the way, we're installing cameras in this place. Uh-oh. Every time you walk in, say hi. It's going to be cameras all over. Now we can know who's praying in shul, who's talking in shul. Camera. But Hashem sees that. Don't need cameras to tell him. A person shouldn't say, when I have time, I will learn. Okay, Rabbi. I heard, you know this one? It's a true story. The guy came to me. He was a tzaddik, this man. This man was the biggest tzaddik in the shul. He says, Rabbi, when I retire, I'm going to come every morning, I'm going to come every evening, I'm going to come to all the shirim. And you know what happened? When he retired, I never saw him again. I said, where are you? Where are you? So when I'm tired in the morning and the evening, it's just it's dinner time and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I understand it. What happened? And the answer is, when you have time, grab the time and do something positive. Otherwise, the time goes, there'll be no time. When you're free, learn. Shema lo tipane, in case you will never have time. So a person says, you know, when I retire, who knows what's going to happen when you retire? You go crazy, nuts. And people go nuts when they retire. Because the brain cannot survive too much time. A person has too much time on their hands, the brain goes crazy because they think about this, they get paranoid. Think about this. Or the brain just shuts down. Two extremes. Either the brain thinks too much, or the brain shuts down. Amazing. You're both types. Alzheimer's, the brain shuts down. Why does the brain shut down? There's nothing to do. The brain is not exercised. The brain is a muscle. If you exercise it, it's strong. If you don't exercise it, it just dies. So watch TV all day, you just destroy the brain. At least watch Torah anytime. Some nice classes. Torah anytime, you got classes over there. There's so many rabbis, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So much choices. I don't like this guy. Okay, let's find someone else. I don't like that guy. Yeah, that's all right. There's hundreds of rabbis over there. Gosh. Thousands of classes. I don't know how they have so much. Whew. It's a big production. You can literally hear this 24 hours a day, 24/7. No, don't hear on Shabbat. Who are you, Omer? Hillel. The great Hillel. Hillel Zaken. This is the great Hillel. En bur yerechet. A bur. You know what a bur is?
Yeah.
It's the same word in Hebrew and the same word in English. You know that? Bur. What is a bur in English? B-O-O-R. A bur. Did I pronounce it right? Pronounce it right?
Yeah.
Same word. Bur. Bur. A bur is a bur. I mean, in any language, a bur is... What's it in Spanish? Bur. Must be.
Every language is a
bur. I don't know. But English and Hebrew, but the same word.
Right.
Bur. En bur yerechet. A bur. A person who is completely empty of Torah and any kind of wisdom. He doesn't even know about business, nothing. That's a bur. A bur is completely ignorant. Uh-huh. Completely ignorant. He doesn't know what is a sin, doesn't know what's good, what's bad. Bur. Complete bur. It's like a guy lost on a desert island, doesn't know anything. No. Bur. A bur cannot be fearful of sin because he doesn't know what sin is. He doesn't know what's right, what's wrong. He doesn't know between his right hand and his left hand. Doesn't know nothing. Velo amar es chassid. An ignoramus cannot be pious. Very dangerous to be ignoramus. Classic case, Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Akiva just started learning Torah. He's walking down the street, he finds a dead body. What do you do? You find a dead body in the street. What would you do? Huh?
Call 911.
You're lucky. You're very lucky. By the way, today, in Highland Park, 911, it goes straight to a private ambulance service, and you have to pay cash.
Yeah, we've read that.
More. $1,500.
$1,500. You think they're going to get away with it?
So far, they will until...
Why do they do that?
Because they're driving the...
Edison and not Edison,
right? I don't know about Edison. Just call Hatzalah, that's all. I don't know. Listen, all I'm telling you is, I'm just telling facts.
Call
Hatzalah, don't call 911. Because otherwise you have to pay a big bill.
Wow.
So he says, a bur... Amaretz cannot be a... So what happens is, Rabbi Akiva is walking down the street and he finds his dead body. He puts it on his back and he carries it to the cemetery.
Carries it where?
To the cemetery.
Oh.
He's going to carry it. He takes it to the cemetery and then he goes home. He's very happy with himself. I did a big mitzvah today. I'm going to tell the rabbi. He's going to be so proud of me. He goes to the rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer, I did a big mitzvah today, you're going to be proud of me. He says, what do you do? He says, I saw a dead body on the street, I picked it up and I carried it on my back to the...
Now he's in trouble.
He says, I'm a aretz, ignoramus. Why? Why am I ignoramus? A dead body you bury where it fell. He acquires the land where it fell. In those days, not today. Today, forget
today
it.
Today, you go to
today, they get sued. You buried him where? On the street? You're crazy? No. But in those days, in Jewish law, where are you going to bury him? Who's going to pay for the burial? And the answer is, wherever he died, that's where you bury him. He died in someone's field, you bury him in the field. But it just shows, if you don't know, you don't know what you're going to do.
But it's cheaper that way.
Let me give you another example. There's a true story. A kid growing up. Kids are from kid. He wants to be a from kid. His parents don't know much. So now, between the 2 days of Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cook from one day to the other. Right? So now the kid tells his mother, he says, Ma, you cook too much. The second day of Yom Tov, we can't eat the food. Because you cooked on the first day of Yom Tov, and it's left over, and you can't cook from one day to the other. So Baruch Hashem, they went to the rabbi. And the rabbi says, that's only if you do it on purpose. You didn't do it on purpose. You had leftovers, you're allowed to eat. But I'm just saying, and a person says, I want to be a pious, but he doesn't know how. Dangerous, very, very dangerous. Too little knowledge and too much piety is a very dangerous combination. That's what Hillel is saying. Lo amar es chassid, an ignoramus cannot be pious. His piety will destroy Judaism. There's a guy, he says, he koshered all his dishes. He says, Rabbi, he says, you're going to be proud of me. He says, why? He says, my backyard is full of cutlery and dishes. What? What for? He said, well, it wasn't kosher. Every time I made a mistake, I used to bury it in the garden. You don't have to bury in your yard. You can kosher it. Kosher it? Yeah. Well, how come no one told me? You never asked. People think, you know, I'm going to get extra moss. Why? Because my yard is full of spoons and forks and knives and that. Amaretz. You're Amaretz. There's an Amaretz and there's an Amaretz l'mahadrin. Okay. There's an Amaretz and there's an ignoramus, Lemahadrin him ignoramus. Super ignoramus. Okay, what can you do? So that's what he says. So Hillel says that a person who is ignorant cannot be a chassid. You cannot be an ignoramus who's a pious ignoramus. There's such a thing. It takes wisdom to be a pious person. Barabaisha lamed. And a person who is shy cannot learn. Why?
He
can't ask questions. I don't ask questions. I'm too shy to ask questions. So it's a problem. Shyness sometimes can be, it's very good though. Shyness, I like shyness, but shyness can be a problem because never ask questions. So even though it's a very good trait, it's not a good trait when it comes to learning. Because a person who is shy will not ask questions. And then he continues, the teacher also, and a teacher who is very, very particular and rebukes all his students, has no patience, can't teach either. That was Shammai. He was very patient, Hillel. Shammai was a kapdan. You don't answer properly, you're not going to get it. You're going to be out of here. Before you even know it, you're going to be out. Get out. All right. Well, I want to learn, Rabbi. Well, why are you asking silly questions? Get out. Hillel says, oh, you have a question? I'm sorry. Whatever you want. Take your time. Ask questions. And not everyone who's a multimillionaire can learn Torah. They have no time. Busy with business, this, business, that. Another phone call. It's amazing. He doesn't say you can't do it. He says lo kol hamarbe schora. Not everyone who increases their merchandise and does more business can be wise, learn Torah. And then he says something. Listen, this whole Mishnah is five different Mishnayot. They're like each saying is a whole book. Every saying of Hillel is like so deep. You could write a book about each saying. And last one is makom she'en anashim shtalel yot ish, a place where there's no people around to carry the flag. You be the one. If there's no one opening their mouth and something's going on over here, you got to open your mouth and say something. You got to do something. You can't just sit back and let the status quo take over. Ishtadeli od ish, be a person. Be an important person. Take over. If you know what to do, teach other people. If there's no one else who can teach, you teach. But don't just sit back and let everyone do whatever they want. The whole thing just falls apart. Okay, we're going to stop here. And we'll continue next week. Bez Russia.
Because I know what I'm saying is very counter-religious, but I feel very strongly that
all these years, all these generations, there has been immorality constantly. Like, yes. Rabbi Bassu says, it's
you don't have to advertise it.